Welcome to another episode of the Dutch and Scots Sportscast. And another because it's been a very long time. I think the last time Rory and I recorded was in October of 2020. And now is a good time to return at the start of the Euros, Euro 2020. So, Rory, how are you feeling coming up to the Euros at this moment?
Excited.
Very excited. Been first major tournament for Scotland in a long time, but we'll get more into that later on. More excited than usual. My one thing that I'm not quite getting is, why is it Euro 2020, not 21?
Yeah, I think it's also to do with the fact that everything was made, the marketing was made. As we discussed, you could just stick a one behind the two. But on the other hand, I quite like the stubbornness to forget about how terrible of a year it has been with COVID. And I think it's actually quite nice that they keep it this way.
That's a bit, yeah, but just a bit strange. Keep wanting to call it Euro 2021 and realizing now it's Euro 2020.
Yeah, it looks a bit odd. I'll admit to that. But, it's still pretty much the same tournament, but a year later, unfortunately. It's going to be a weird time after with the World Cup as well, being in a different schedule than usual. But I suppose we'll have to get used to this, and after it will be normal, hopefully. I say hopefully, because at this time, you never know.
It's true.
But
anyway,
let's start.
About positive matters.
Oh, hopefully.
Or not. Let's talk about the Dutch national team.
you say positive or not, and that's kind of the sentiment throughout the Netherlands. Yeah, exactly. Let's start off where it all began, like the qualification for this tournament with our coach Koeman. When he came in, he kind of revitalized the Dutch national team. He started from scratch, recalled some of the younger players and left some of the older players out. Some of the mainstays had been in the team for a long time. And everything seemed to be going very well. And then he had a clause in his contract. And this clause meant that if Barcelona came in for him, he would be able to leave for FC Barcelona and not end his contract. And, guess what happened? Barcelona came in for him, and now he's at Barcelona, where he's had a tough time, to say the least. And after we got Frank de Boer in, at first it was kind of received relatively negative, because he was at Crystal Palace and Inter, and as you may remember, at Crystal Palace he lost all of his games in the Premier League.
Yeah, and he was called, Jose Mourinho called him the worst boss ever in the Premier League, didn't he?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so didn't boast well for him at all. After or before, I can't quite remember, but he went to Inter Milan, where he also performed terribly and got sacked after his first few months in charge. So two of his jobs went terrible. After he went to Atlanta. Jesus, very similar, but yeah, Atlanta in the US, and that's where he started off pretty well. He came, I think it's the MLS Cup playoffs where they decide who wins the league, and he might have lost the final, but I'm not quite sure. And after the restart, after COVID, he performed terribly again. So the best guy to put in charge of the Dutch national team by a long shot, of course. It all went kind of downhill from there. The Dutch team don't play very, very well. I don't know if you heard, but our first goalkeeper, Jasper Cillessen, got infected with COVID after being selected for the national team. And he was showing no symptoms at all and was expected to be fit again within a few weeks' time. But what Frank de Boer did was just completely drop him and decide to call up another goalkeeper. So, of course, Cillessen wasn't too happy about this. He made another few flops in his first press conference For the Euros, he said that Donny van de Beek played around 4,000 minutes of football this year, which, I mean, as followers of the Premier League know, he clearly didn't. It was Frenkie de Jong he was supposed to talk about. Cody Gakpo is one of our brightest talents, playing for PSV. He called him Gakpo. And Jeremiah Sint-Juste was in the provisional team and never got a call that he wasn't selected for the national team. He only found out with this elaborate promotion video that the social media team of the Dutch national team posted. And I even in the back of a taxi somewhere, he decided to predict all of the games for the Euros. So yeah, these are just a few things of stuff that has gone wrong under his helm. And even now with Donny van de Beek getting an injury, a few days before our first game on Sunday, around a week, he does not decide to call up a replacement for Donny van de Beek, which was also not received very positively. So all in all, the sentiment throughout the Netherlands is not very positive. And when we first got announced the group for the Euros, do you remember how long it was ago? Because I have no idea.
I only know that we had Nations League playoff and the groups were already set for them. So it's been a while.
True. Yeah, I think at that point we were waiting. But we got North Macedonia, Austria and Ukraine. And at first everyone here seemed to be quite jubilous about that group. We're like, oh man, that's easy. No problem. We'll get out of that group. Fingers in our nose, as we say in Dutch. But then you got Ukraine, who finished top of their qualification group ahead of Portugal. You got Macedonia, who recently beat Germany in Germany. And Austria, who still have a decent team with Alaba and Arnautovic and probably a handload of players playing in the Bundesliga. So I do not quite share the excitement and the positivity that I had at the start when the group got announced. Like I said, and even after that game against you guys, against Scotland, that wasn't very uplifting either. And last week, the game against Georgia, which, I mean, is a team you should easily be able to beat as the Netherlands. No offense to Georgia, of course, but, well, it was 3-0 and it wasn't quite convincing either. We seem to heavily rely on Memphis being fit and in form. And, of course, no Van Dijk. The goalkeeping question isn't quite decided yet. Will it be Stekelenburg, who's 38 and recently started playing for Ajax again because of Onana's drug problem? I don't know if you've heard about that, but
he's out for 12 months, isn't he?
Yeah, so he took a substance that he claimed to be his girlfriend's, and he didn't know that it was not supposed to be used. And like I said, we don't know, but he's been banned. So Stekelenburg came in the team, has been doing all right, but seems kind of weird that he would be back in the national team like that. And then we got Tim Krul, Norwich City, who has always been there, never been the first goalkeeper. And then the third goalkeeper who got called up after Silas had to go was Marco Bizot. He's the first keeper for AZ, but I believe he's played one time for the national team, maybe as a substitute. So, yeah, like I said, if we can build momentum, which means just winning some of the games in our group, I think we've got quite a favorable schedule for getting quite far. But I'm not very positive. But not very excited yet either, but I think that'll come once the games start rolling around. The first game will be played on Sunday at 9 against, let me quickly check who it was. Ukraine at home. Yeah, so that's one redeeming factor, I suppose. All our games are at home in Amsterdam. So
there seems to be a lot of that.
Yeah.
Even in the bigger teams.
Yeah, same with you guys, because like you're all playing your games in Glasgow as well.
There's
Oh,
I
except
think
for
it's
one.
England. If England finish top, I think they play like all but one game all the way to the final at Wembley, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems a bit weird. And even like your
Yeah.
game, like England, Scotland is in London.
Yeah, some Wembley.
Yeah.
So, what's your prediction? Netherlands, Ukraine.
Too all.
Netherlands, Austria.
I'd have to go 1-0.
Netherlands.
Yeah.
North Macedonia, Netherlands.
Like I said, we just have to win that 1-2.
Do you think you're gonna top the group then?
I would hope so, yeah. I think we should and we maybe will, but I'm not overly confident.
Certainly should. I mean, just looking
Yeah.
at the prestige of teams in that league, in that group,
Yeah.
Netherlands top it. Considering 11 years ago you were in a World Cup final.
Yes. I
Never
mean, and
mind this year, Matt.
the few years after we finished third, the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. And you've won the Euros twice?
No, once, 88.
Once, 88. I thought you
Yeah,
won it
no.
twice, didn't you? World Cup finals, that was it in the 70s.
Yeah, we've always come close, but
Yeah.
only once we actually did it.
As you say, Ukraine are looking pretty exciting at the minute. Austria have a pretty solid squad already. North Macedonia are looking to be underdogs. There always is one a Euros, isn't there? You had Iceland before. You've had Greece before. There's always one that goes to this or goes and shocks a few people, so it could be North Macedonia.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think all these squads have a lot of fighting spirit, which at the moment I think the Netherlands lacks, but I hope we can overcome that with quality.
Well, certainly looking at it from Scotland perspective, moving into that one, but a lot of people are for us to finish fourth or third in our group. When we played the Netherlands in a pre-season friendly, we drew two each with half of our squad out through a COVID incident. One flight tested positive. Six others were then named as close contacts and had to isolate for that game. And we were missing Scott McTominay because of his Man United Europa League final the week before. It was still should have won the game, really. The Netherlands were really not convincing to me at all, I can't lie. I think we played the better football. First goal through Depay. It was all Depay.
That's what I was saying.
It was a simple case of David Turnbull leaving Depay alone to charge into the box. Lovely finish from Depay, great player, but I mean it was that which I don't think would have happened if John McGinn and Scott McTominay were on the pitch. And then the second goal, I'm sure you've seen the clip, was never a free kick. It was a lovely taking free kick. And Craig Gordon made a mistake with where he was standing, but wasn't a free kick. So
Yeah,
the
I saw
Dutch
your
kick.
tweets about the referee.
And the
You didn't
ref,
seem happy.
both the friendlies we had against you guys and were a friendly against Luxembourg. The refs were awful. I don't know if it was just a case of they were letting like sort of local refs take the friendlies or what, but the one
Local
against the
refs.
Netherlands, it was almost like he was starstruck by Memphis Depay, honestly. It was weird. He kind of let Depay away with everything. There was an incident where Depay should have probably got booked, and Depay put his hand on the ref's shoulder and was chatting to him, and the ref let him away with it. It was really weird. Obviously, it's a friendly, so we're not that bothered, but yeah, it was strange. On to our other friendly against Luxembourg. They're a good side, Luxembourg. They're very well worked. That's what I'd say about them. So we managed to beat them 1-0, so but it really should have been, I would say, kind of 4 or 5,
Yeah,
my
well, no
opinion.
offense to Luxembourg again, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, we had two goals ruled off. One of them was a header for Lyndon Dykes, which for some reason he decided to batter off his hand rather than his head. Fair enough. Another one was chopped off offside, which I'm not overly convinced it was offside.
Reminds me of Maradona,
Bill.
first goal.
Yeah, there you go.
Hand of God.
We also had an incident where Lyndon Dykes was played through. Probably was going to finish it, but the Luxembourg centre-half decided to take him down rather than let him shoot. Got a straight red, but another goal there. There was a few other chances that really should have been taken by us. So, yeah, that was our two friendlies leading up to the Euros. Our games go England. We're playing Czech Republic on Monday. The what would that be? Oof. Monday the 11th.
Yeah, no, the 14th. 14th.
14th. 11th when it starts.
Yeah, 11th is Friday. Yeah.
Monday the 14th, we play Czech Republic at Hampden. Mm-hmm. We play England on Friday the 18th, and then Tuesday the 22nd, we play Croatia. Group. So, I would say ours is a tougher group than your group.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's also due to like the whole ranking system that they use for like making these groups. But I can't imagine the excitement that must be going through Scotland at this moment of time.
Oh yeah. That's all. Everyone's just going absolutely mental for it. There's banners up everywhere. There's a big sign in Glasgow. Kind of right on the Clyde side, and it's by Adidas, and it says it's coming home, and they've crossed out the home and put Hame.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
which, for anyone who doesn't know, in the Netherlands, Hame is sort of Scots for home, and it's coming home is what England like to say all the time.
Oh, I hate that song.
Yeah, I despise it. but The hype's real. And what kind of every customer that's talking to me is talking to me about the Euros. It's just, yeah. It's going to be a really, really, really good environment, I think. Mm-hmm. Especially if Scotland do well. I think you were talking earlier about sort of fighting spirit. I think that is one of Scotland's biggest advantages, and it has been since Steve Clark took over. The players are hungry. You know, they are passionate. Every single one of them. You've seen it when we beat Serbia on penalties. They were all you've seen the celebrations, haven't you?
Yeah. I've seen it. It was amazing. Like, it's cool to see how everyone gets so united. And well,
yeah. So I think that I think that will be an advantage. I also do think we have a really good squad, and I do think that Steve Clark, our manager, is utilizing the squad. A very good way. One of his main conundrums is that our two best players play the same position. It's a position that you can't really play two of. That is left back. We have Andy Robertson and we have Kieran Tierney. Personally, I think that right now, as a left back, Andy Robertson's better, but Kieran Tierney has a higher ceiling than him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that Steve Clark has them working is really clever on his part. He plays it so that you play kind of five at the back with Andrew Robertson at left wing back and Kieran Tierney at left centre back. When we're attacking down the left flank, it's almost a case of Tierney can run forward because that's what he does better. He charges forward, like he can charge to goal and stuff like that. Tierney can charge and attack as much as he wants, and Robertson just fills in for him. But we still don't lose out on Robertson's attacking threat, as we've seen against the Netherlands with the second goal, where the ball was played up to Robertson and he had a fantastic cross in for Kevin Nisbet.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that he's got them two working is very good. I think the rest of the squad's kind of fallen into place really well with the formation he plays. For me, while I run through what the starting lineup should be, I think, in my opinion. So we've got David Marshall in goal. He always turns up in a Scotland shirt. He's a hero of the Serbia game with his penalty save.
The experience.
Yeah, experience. But it's between him or Gordon, Craig Gordon. And for me, it's just I prefer David Marshall. As I say, left wing backs Andrew Robertson, left centre backs Kieran Tierney. Then the debate for centre back, which is something we've not had in a long time, is between Liam Cooper and Hanley. Jack Hendry and McTominay can play there too. That's kind of the main ones anyway.
Would you rather have McTominay in midfield?
Yeah, exactly. So I would play... Personally, I would probably... It depends on the game. If you're playing England and you're wanting that's solid at the back, you want Grant Hanley. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to attack more, I'd play Liam Cooper. And I think the left centre back should be Hendry. We've also got Declan Gallagher. How can I forget Declan Gallagher, Motherwell centre back? Another hard man. He's been to prison. It's a bit mental. But
all right.
I'd play Jack Hendry. He's seen his goal against the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lovely goal.
That was a good goal. I think
he's came on leaps and bounds. He's tipped for a good move this summer. Who stand up buying him off of Celtic with their buyout, like their optional buy-in clause in the loan agreement for 1.5 million, or a plan of just selling them straight on. Apparently, some of the bigger teams in Belgium are interested, and Newcastle, so he'll probably get a move this summer. Right wing backs up for debate. It's between Stephen O'Donnell and Nathan Patterson. Personally, I would probably go Stephen O'Donnell just for now, because I do think he still offers a lot of attack, but he's a bit more experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Three centre mids. We have John McGinn, who, I mean, we all know how good he is. Scott McTominay, another one that I rate very highly. Then you can either really play Alan McGregor or Billy Gilmore. And for me, it's Billy Gilmore.
All right.
And then up top, we have Che Adams and Lyndon Dykes.
Lyndon Dykes, so, big man.
So we've got all-round, I would say, a more solid squad than we're giving credit for. We're playing well. We've got that sort of desire. Going into the group, I think that realistically we could finish second or third. I think England will top the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they don't, then it's England will probably try and claim it's tactical, so they don't have to face second place in the group of death. They really should top the group. Realistically, they probably should get 9 points. However, England, I think, are quite famous for overhyping.
Yes.
From media and fans, and going into a game and thinking in Croatia, I've been known to upset England before. I think we have the ability to pull off a draw against them. But yeah, for me, it'll be England top, Croatia second, Scotland third. Czech Republic fourth. I do think that we will come. We'll get one of the top third place finishes, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I think the aim for Scotland has to be to try and qualify. It'll be our first time ever in a major tournament getting past the group stages.
Oh well.
And that's our best shot at it. So I think that that's the aim, and I think it's very possible with us at the minute.
Well, to conclude, yeah. Shall we quickly predict the games for Scotland then? The first one.
Sure.
Scotland,
Czech Republic. I'm gonna go 2-1 for that one.
Right.
I'm gonna go 2-1. I think it'll be case of Scotland take the lead, Czech Republic equalise, and then we get a kind of a late winner and hold on, really, which we couldn't do against the Netherlands. But I think 2-1.
Down to England, to London.
England, yeah, down Scotland. To London, one each.
One each.
Yeah, I think.
How
we'll
is it
break
the,
some marks.
With the ticket allocation there? Is it all England?
England. I'm not sure actually. I think it is. I'm going to the Euro Fan Zone at Glasgow Green for it, so I'm excited about that. But I don't know how it's working down in Wembley for it.
No, well, we'll see.
Hopefully, there's a mix. I think there is a mix. I'm sure there will be a mix.
There should be. Come on.
Yeah.
Still, I know you don't like it, but it's still technically the same country.
Shut up.
Croatia, Scotland.
Croatia, Scotland. No, Croatia.
All right.
Yeah, I think Croatia's got a better squad than they're getting credit for. I think people are focusing too much on their older constituency, mm-hmm. but they have. Players like Orsic, who's played really well in Europa League this year. They have quite a few decent players. Overall, I think Croatia still have enough to get quite deep in the tournament. And I think they'll probably be us one now. I think that by the time that game comes around, we'll probably have tired out a lot of our best players, because it will take a lot of effort against Czech Republic and England.
Yeah.
So, if by that point we've secured 4 points, I could see Steve Clarke rotating a little bit for that game, because 4 points pretty much will be enough to go forward.
It should be, so yeah.
So I could see Steve Clarke rotating the squad slightly for that game, because there's a few groups with third place are going to be, you know, tried hard to try and get 4 points. So, yeah, I could see that being the case with him. 1-0 Croatia.
Interesting. This concludes our prediction of the group stages, our quick rundown of the group stages. We hope to be back with more episodes soon, right?
Yeah. I mean, we'll have I think we'll have a few during the Euros. Maybe a bit of talk about the Copa America as well, which starts on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we'll be here probably 10th of July to talk about Scotland versus Netherlands in the final.
Yes.
And then again on the 12th of July to talk about Scotland hammering Netherlands in the final.
No.
I mean, who's got the better track record in international finals, mate?
Well, okay.
We've never lost one.
That's true. You've never lost one.
Never been there.
We've lost too many.
You've lost pretty much all of them.
All but one,
exactly.
Uh-huh.
Just we've never been there, so we've never lost one. So really, we should be going in the favourites.
Save the agony, though. Don't worry, man.
Exactly. I don't know what I'd do if we were to lose a fight. If we were to make a great run this year, make the final, or to lose in the final, I think I would just want to... I'd become a hermit and just... live in the Hebrides for the rest of my life, and I'll speak to anyone ever again.
Oh,
we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
We'll see.
Again. Until we win.
never
again.
But hopefully everyone is excited for what is it, the 11th? I am, but yeah, we will see. It will be an exciting tournament. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. We'll be coming back at some point soon, hopefully after the first games of the Euros. And until then, see ya.
In 8 months.
Ciao.
Ciao.